Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're in Matthew, the 14th chapter, and verse number 22. Jesus continues to do miracles. And Jesus did the miracles to prove that He was Messiah, King of Israel. In Bible analysis, we teach that the Bible can, Bible analysis means to uplift the Bible and understand the Bible. The Bible is not a Ouija board or a talisman or a good luck charm. It is a real book revealing a real God to you. Now, there's 66 books in what we call the Holy Bible. Hagia Sophia, Holy Wisdom, comes from my book. Hagia Sophia, Holy Wisdom. There are 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament that have been canonized. The law and the prophets were until John, and after that the kingdom of God is preached. And Jesus is preaching that. When you open up your Bible, so many people look at the Bible like a good luck charm and like a, oh, Lord, let me read exactly what I need today. Aha, there it is. That's not the way it's done. The Bible is a divine Hagia Sophia. It is a divine holy wisdom. And it is a tool. And when you want something for your life, you know where to go. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. When you lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, you know where to go. The Roman road. You know the scriptures. You may have those scriptures memorized by heart. When you fall on hard times, Psalm 23 is a beautiful verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We look at these scriptures. They're foundational scriptures. But learn to use the Word of God as a tool to heal your soul, to build you up in the Word of God. Learn the 66 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, etc., all the way through Revelation. You go where you can find those books. I've had several students in my life. I remember one, Kathy, that used to be in my class. I could say, Matthew 28:16, and she could just have that within 1 second, it seemed like. And read that. Remember Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be familiar with our Word, our Bible. And that's what we're doing here, becoming familiar with the Word of God. When I was going to the seminary, I took Old Testament survey and New Testament survey. In New Testament survey, Dr. Darius Sherwood Madden was my teacher. We had the first semester and the second semester test. The first semester test was that we had to go through all the four Gospels, and he gave us a blank sheet and said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We had to tell where every subject began and where it ended. We had to be able to outline those books. And then the second one, we had to go through Acts through Revelation. Now, you can learn the books of the Bible. You can learn where they are. You can go turn in that. I mean, we have little cheaters nowadays, you know, these Bibles that have little markers in them. But learn where the book is. Be able to unloose the Bible for people to help teach them. And I know you are. Some of you are teachers out there in Texas and Australia and China, New Zealand, the Philippines, New York, Alabama, Mississippi, all of the different states around. Oregon, Washington, all over the world, in Russia, in the underground churches in China, Korea. Learn your Bible. Learn it. You need it. It is your Hagia Sophia. It is your holy wisdom that God gives to you. And learn how to get it. Don't look at it like a good luck charm. It just hold it to you. Learn to write in the thing. Write in that book. Write notes. Guide yourself. I'll dog-ear those pages if you have to. Whatever you need to do to learn, do it. Learn the book. Don't let it be a good luck charm. Don't let it be a talisman. Let it be part of your lives. 1422. Kai euthios anna kaisen tous matetos embethne aisto ployon kai praagen auton aisto peron hias hu aplusa tos oklos. And immediately, euthios. Why, Mark is really fond of that term, euthios. And immediately, he compelled, he restrained, he forced the disciples to embark in a boat, a little ployon, and to go before him unto the other side until he might dismiss the crowds. And this word, how many is this crowd? Two so close? 10 to 20,000 people. Lots of people. Verse number 23. Kai apolisos, two so close, anabe eisto oros, kat hedion tros euchasteste, hiphios de genomenes, monos ein eke. And having dismissed the 10 to 20,000 people, he went up into a mountain by himself accordingly to pray. And an evening, late evening, in the second watch from 3 to 6, and then there's another at 6 to 9, evening, and having become alone, he kept on being there. He stayed there. He had to get away from that monk. They wore him out. All of you out there all over the world that study our lessons together, and you write comments on the sermons, thank you, and even the emails that you send to me, and I try to answer them. I am yours. I try to make myself accessible to you. Sometimes I get worn out too, so I might not answer something for a day or two. We went up in the mountains this evening to get away. Just look at wild horses and antelope and deer. Look at the beautiful mountains and the snow on those mountains. Just had to recover. Verse number 24. Tode ployon eide stadius polus, apotes ges. A taken baso nisomenon, hippo ton chimaton, engar enotios ho anibos. But the boat, now about 600 furlongs many, many times 600 feet, a furlong is 600 feet, so quite a few times past 600 feet now from the land. They're way out there in the middle of the lake. And it kept on being away and being distressed and tormented by the waves. It kept on being for contrary, adverse against the wind. They're trying to travel against the wind. Now, Let me go back and tell you a little history, a little bit of legend here in this story. When you study the Word of God, you have to realize what's going on and what was happening back then. Who, what, where, when, and why. Who's speaking, what he's speaking about, and what's the subject. Now, we have a storm out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, which is a great big lake, and that thing's over 600 feet deep. Now, the Jews had a legend that at the bottom of that deep lake, there was the gates, the Phylake of Hades, the gates of hell. There's where all the wicked ones down. Now, in the Bible, there's behemoths and there are leviathans. A behemoth is a supernatural beast out in the desert of some sort. And in the ocean, a leviathan is a great sea monster of some sort, a great dragon, so to speak. And they believe that there was a great dragon, a leviathan, guarding the gates of hell, of the unseen world, of Tophet, of the bottomless pit, and they thought the gates of hell began at the bottom of that lake. And when they had a great storm and an instant storm, they believed that leviathan was stirring up the waters. So now a leviathan is always a supernatural being. It's a dragon type thing. Now, go back. Now, all of this, these Jews knew. You go back to Moses and Aaron in Egypt. When Aaron threw down his rod in Pharaoh's palace, it became a tannin, a leviathan, a dragon, not a nahash, not a snake. And when Majanus and Jambres threw their rods down, they became leviathans. These are supernatural creatures. They were not snakes. They were not serpents. They're leviathans. These are dragons. And God's dragon, that supernatural dragon, ate up the dragons of Satan by the power of Satan. Now, out here in the Sea of Galilee, they are thinking, hey, we're out here, there's supernatural powers at work, and we're going to die in this great storm because this leviathan is stirring up the water. So now guess what happens? They're afraid. They could not get to land. They were out there in that deep, and they thought that they were going to drown. Now we have a 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock one watch, from 12 o'clock to 3 a.m. and 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the night. The first, second, third, and fourth watch. Now in the fourth watch, that's 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning, Tet tarte de philake tes niktos. El thing pros altus terapaton epitain thalasson. During or moreover in the 3 o'clock a.m. to 6 o'clock a.m., that watch, the philake of the night, he came toward them, walking upon the sea. Who did? Jesus came walking upon the sea. What is it showing them? They believe that this great leviathan was stirring up the waters. Now, the Lord God of heaven says, I shall send my Son, and he shall sit on my throne, and his feet upon the earth as a footstool. Now, his feet walking upon the powers of Hades, or the bottomless pit, or the typhon, sophon, that great deep. He has power over all of that. He has power over all the majestic powers of Satan. Jesus is greater than all things. And he came walking upon that troubled sea. Walking upon that sea, overcoming supernaturally that great storm that they thought Satan was causing through this leviathan. Hoi de mate te idontes auton epites thalases peripatuta etar rock theson legontes hote fantisma esten. Kai apo tu phobu ekrazon. Moreover, the disciples, furthermore, the disciples, having seen him upon the sea, walking around, that's what it says, walking around, they were frightened and terrified. Etarach theson. That comes from paroson. They were struck out of their senses. They were caused to be terrified, saying that a phantasma, that a ghost, a phantom, a specter, another supernatural figure is out here. We've got the Leviathan stirring up the waters of the gates of the unseen world, and we got a phantom, a ghost, walking on the water. They figure this is all one specter. A ghost it is. And from the fear, they cried out, Yah! Uah! That was one of the worst words they cried in Greek, is Uah! Calamity. Destruction. Uah! Euthus, Dei elase elalesen, hoesus, autois legon faresete, ego eimi me phobeste. And immediately he spoke. Now, hoesus there is in brackets, but we understand who it's there, so even though it's not there, we have a practical substance. Substantive, and some scribe wrote this in sometime, but we understand it's Jesus. Jesus spoke to them, saying, Ye be happy, Taraste. Be happy, be of good cheer. I am, not you fear. It is I am. Now that ego, Amy, that there comes from Exodus 3:14. I am. The great I am of the Old Testament. I am the God of heaven. I am the miracle worker. I am the one that brought bread down from heaven. I am the one that created the heaven and the earth. I am He. He was walking on the powers of Satan. 14:28. Apokrites di autoho petros. A pen to the A-A-C-A. Kelison me elthane pros se epita hidata. And having answered and caught up in speech to him, the Peter, he said, Lord, if or since you are willing, you command me to come toward you upon the waters. Now, from the great Leviathan stirring up the waters, the power of Satan, and Jesus is walking on and power over Satan. Peter's not afraid. He said, Lord, let me do like what you're doing. Let me walk on the water too. Now, walking on water is miraculous. It's a miracle. It's a great miracle, walking on water. Now, there was a movie one time that had this Oriental guy that he could walk so lightly that his footprints wouldn't go in the sand and that he could walk on water. Now, that's not true. I mean, that might have been in a movie. But we're not talking about what we call here special effects. This is the real thing. In the end of that movie, they had this guy, they're chasing him, and he goes out there and he starts walking on the lake and he just walks on the water, splashing a little water with his feet, until he goes and walks and gets in the boat, those people stand up. Like that. Now these disciples, they see the powers of the unseen world out there in that lake, and they're afraid. And then they think a ghost is that some kind of a specter is walking on that water. And now they find out that Jesus is walking on the water and that he has power over all things. Hode pan elthade kai karabas. Apo tu ployo ho petros peripatesen epita hidata kai elthane pros ton us eso. And he said, you come out. And having gone down from the boat, the Peter, he walked about upon the waters. It's not a special effect, he really did it. And he came toward the Jesus. Jesus has great power. When you preach the Word of God, when I preach the Word of God, I mean, my words don't really mean anything, but this Bible is powerful. This Bible is a Hagia Sophia. It is the holy wisdom of God. It is the great words of God. And the Word of God convicts men of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. It's a miracle when somebody is saved and brought out of the clutches of Satan, especially if they're 40 or 50 or 60 years old. Young people are more willingly saved than older people, except when they become teenagers, and then I don't want anything possible. Yes, they can be saved too. Blepon de ton animon, ephobethe, kai a zamino, karapontiseste, ekrasen legon curie soson me. But seeing the wind, the wind now, we have the Leviathan in the deep stirring up the storm, we have Jesus walking on the water, and Jesus gives Peter power. He imputes power to him to walk on the water, to actually defy natural science. He's going to walk on water. And it's not heavy water either. This is water. There's a such thing as heavy water. But seeing the wind, he was afraid. He was caused to be afraid, and having begun to sink. Having begun to go down, he cried out, saying, Lord, you saved me. Lord, you saved me. Now, what do we have? What kind of a miracle do we have here? And what is the purpose of it? Peter thought that he had great powers. He thought that Jesus could impute powers to him. And he got out and worked and walked on the water. But all of a sudden, he realized he was on the water. And the wind was blowing. And the water was still rushing and roaring and white caps all over the place. And he began to sink. He wasn't looking at Jesus. He began to sink. Verse number 31. Euthios de hoesus ectenes tain kara epilabeto. Altu kai lege auto oligo piste esti idastasas. And immediately Jesus, having stretched out the hand, he laid hold upon him. And he says to him, little faith, little faith, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? Asti idastasa. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? You see the powers of Satan. You see my power over the natural world. Why do you doubt, Peter? You know who I am. You saw me feed 5,000. Well, 10 to 20,000 people. You saw me raise the dead. You saw me heal the sick. Why are you doubting now that I can give you power to walk on water? Why do you doubt? 1432, Kai ana bon ton, auton aisto, ploion, echo pasin ho animos. And having gone up to of them, Jesus and Peter, unto the boat, it ceased the wind. Jesus calmed the storm. He had power over that great Leviathan that was in their mind. Hoi de ento ployo profukeneson auto legontes aletos theu huius he. And in the boat, and the ones in the boat, they worshipped him. They worship Jesus. They knew now that he had power over Satan. He had power over all the forces of darkness and evil. Saying truly, belonging to God, this is his son you are. The son of God you are. Kai dia porosantes, elthon epitengen es Gennesaret. And having crossed over, they came upon the land unto Gennesaret, Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, probably this area is Tiberias. The Sea of Gennesaret, from the town of the name on its shore. 35. Verse number 35. Kai epinotes auton hoi andres tu topu ekenu apestalon est holen tain perag perennorum ekine kai prose con auto pontos tus cacus econte. And having recognized him, the one's man of the place, that they sent away unto the entire neighborhood. The entire neighborhood. Periokomen, that is. That, and they brought, and they carried forth to him all the one's illnesses having. Illness and weaknesses having. Verse number 36, the last verse in our reading tonight. Kai pare kalon, auton hina monon, hopson te tu cross pedo, tu hematio, autu kai hosoi, hopsanto di elson theson. And they kept on beseeching and begging him, in order that only that they might touch the corner and the fringe of the garment of him, and so many as they touched, they were completely, thoroughly saved from what illnesses they had. Now, let's go back before we read this. Go back. Well, let's read up to this from the Amplified Bible. And then we'll go back into the Old Testament. And he directed his disciples to get into a boat and go before him to the other side, and he sent away the crowds. And after he had dismissed the multitude, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. But the boat was by this time out on the sea, many furlongs. A furlong is an eighth of a mile. And it's several. They're out there way out in the ocean where there's no hope beyond the point of overturn. Distance from the land, and beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch, between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock of the night, Jesus came to them walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking upon the sea, they were terrified, and he said to them, and they said, it is a ghost, a specter, a spirit. And they screamed out with fright. But instantly he spoke to them, saying, take courage, I am. Stop being afraid. He's quoting Exodus 3:14. I am the God of Moses. And Peter asked him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked upon the water, and he came to Jesus, walking on water. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened, and as he began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me from death, from drowning. And instantly Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him, saying to him, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And they got into the boat, and the wind ceased. And those in the boat knelt and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And when they had crossed over to the other side, they went on the shore at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out around in the surrounding country and villages and brought to him everyone that was sick. And they begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment. And as many of them touched, it were perfectly restored. Now let's go back to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. Who, what, where, when, and why? Who's speaking? What's he speaking about? And what's the subject? 14. Or 15, that is. Verse 37. Now, this is in the what we call the book of Numbers. And he's telling them to do something. Jehovah spoke to Moses in verse 37, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations." It tells them to write down the lineages of your family. Write down the lineage. Jesus is going to write the lineage from his mother, from the seed of the woman, on down. Throughout their generations, they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. Blue standing for what? Heaven. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments that were handed down to you by your generations of the Lord, so as to do them and not to follow after your own heart or your own eyes or after which you played the harlot. In order that you may remember to do all the commandments and to be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am, ego eimi, I am the Lord your God. I am, asher, asha, asha, asher, asha, asher, asher, haya, asher. I am the Lord, the ever-existing one. Eloheinu, the Lord, the God of you, and the one that you belong to. Asher, haya, asher, Eloheinu. I am the Lord God of heaven. Now these people that are asking Jesus to allow these people to touch his garment were recognizing him as the seed of the woman. They recognized him as the genealogy, as the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. They recognized him as the Son of God. And they recognized that they touched his lineage, his emblem, his badge of his divine ministry and his origin, that they could be healed. Remember the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Have you touched Jesus? Has he healed you? Has he given you eternal life? Have you laid all of your sins upon him? Have you asked him to forgive you? Have you repented of those sins? And have you followed the Lord? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he's your Savior? Do you believe that God sent forth his Son at the fullness of time, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem all those who are under the curse of the law? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you ever get to heaven, it's because of what Jesus did. If you ever walk on that walk of faith, it'll be by the grace of God, by the imputed power in your life to believe and ask the Lord to save you. And he will. Our Father, we send forth this message to honor and glorify you. Help those that are out there to be lifted up, to be built up in your word. Help them to understand your word. The Bible is not a good luck charm, a talisman, but a real book from a real God, to real people that will believe. And Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.